Santa is almost here, and that means that, you know, you're blasting the Christmas tunes, right? As you wait for the reindeer and wrap the presents and drink the eggnog. One of the most famous songs this time of year, though, is called The Christmas Song. We all know it. And John Oates is joining us to celebrate the season and talk about his new holiday track. Hi, John.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
It's a pleasure to speak with you, and merry, merry, happy, happy, as they say. And yeah, I'm really, you know, this is kind of an interesting project because, honestly, I did this at home on my laptop only because I wanted to send a musical Christmas cards to a lot of friends and family, and I didn't want to send the paper version. And I thought, hey, you know what, let me do that Mel Torme classic. And it was kind of fun to learn because it's so beautifully simple yet musically deceptive. And so I learned it, and then I did a quick track on my laptop with only a few instruments, you know, programmed the drums, programmed the bass, played some guitar, and it came out really, really well. I played it for a very good friend of mine who's the president of a record company here in Nashville, and he's a big Christmas guy, and he told me it was one of his favorite versions next to Frank Sinatra, and I was kind of shocked. I went, really? I said, well, he goes, yeah, man. He goes, you should put this out. And that's why I decided to put it out. So, but basically, you know, the original idea was just to kind of send it to some friends.
Wow. Okay. So many questions just out of that. Recording on a computer, I mean, obviously we know the music recording industry has changed since you got started. So did you just learn it on your own? Were there YouTube videos you watched? How did you kind of pick it all up?
Well, I learned the chords. The chords are really complicated, actually, but they're very, really cool. And that's what was my motivation, was really to learn the chords, because I love to challenge myself and keep learning and trying new things. Once I learned the chords and I started singing and playing, I thought, you know what, let me just make a track. I do this all the time at home. You know, I record at home all the time. And, you know, in case you're not aware, or the folks out there in the radio world might not be aware, most pop records are made on a computer using, you know, various recording systems like Pro Tools, you know, Logic, GarageBand, whatever. And so that's what I do. And, you know, and I have a little MIDI keyboard, which I can program different instruments. And that's how I started. I do it all the time. And but this was going to be just this casual kind of thing, and it turned out to be sometimes, you know, the simplest things can turn out the best when you're not trying so hard. And that's the way this one turned out.
I remember when I was a teenager taking piano lessons and keyboard, and at school we had, it was an M1 Korg. And I remember you could lay down eight different tracks. You could, you know, do a drum. And that was, you know, that was amazing at the time. We didn't have the computers doing it. It was just like, hey, you can have eight tracks on this one keyboard? That's pretty cool. So we've come a long way.
Yeah, that was state of the art in those days. Believe me, I remember all the, you know, I started recording back in the analog days when it was literally a two-track, one-inch tape, you know, or a half-inch tape. So, you know, my career has kind of paralleled the technology of the recording business as it's, you know, gone up through the years. And, you know, of course, now, you know, you can just go buy yourself a laptop, and next thing you know, you're making records. So it's really, it's pretty amazing what you can do. And, you know, there's nothing to replace live musicians playing together in a studio, but of course that's a little bit problematic during this COVID era. So, I've been doing a lot of recording at home, and it's turning out really well.
It's interesting because the term that we had back in the day, a one-man band, well now, you know, it's still literally the same thing, just with, it's a one-computer band almost, I guess, now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and I just saw a piece on Paul McCartney's new album, and he did it all at home by himself. He played all the instruments and did it at home in his home studio. So, yeah, it's very common, you know. I mean, Billie Eilish makes a big deal out of her, you know, she and her brother, you know, make all these Grammy-winning records right there at home. So it's really not unusual at all in the world of pop to do this sort of thing.
But like you say, there's nothing like having a live band behind you, though.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different thing. You know, when you have players who are vibing off each other and really, you know, being inspired by listening to what the other players are doing, yeah, there's a magic there that you can never, ever replace. But at the same time, you know, like I said, during this COVID period of time, you have to make lemonade out of lemons.
Let me ask you, you know, you sort of already talked about why you picked to make the Christmas song, but and I don't make music, so this is where I really want to know, is when we have these songs that are so, you know, sometimes traditional, you know, or generational even, How does an artist sort of make it their own when it's a song like this? You know, it's kind of like when people do the national anthem and you say, you know what, just leave it alone. It's the national anthem. How do you artistically or creatively make changes when it comes to a song like this?
That's a really good question. You know, here again, you always have to honor the original in some way, shape, or form. I think that's, as a songwriter, you know, I just have a reverence for, you know, and I'm a fan of songwriting. So, you know, a song like this was so incredibly, you know, so perfect in so many ways, both for harmonically, lyrically, everything about it. So you don't want to mess with it too bad, but at the same time, as you said, you want to bring a little bit of yourself into it. I think I just kind of, you know, I did a little bit of a more bluesy approach to my vocal. The chords are very traditional, you know, and I put a little, just a very simple, you know, there's always the, you know, people like to put jingle bells and, you know, bells ringing in the background on a Christmas song, you know. Yeah. It always seems like, okay, here's our Christmas song, now we're going to put some jingle bells somewhere in it. I really wanted to avoid falling into that trap. But I did put this little bell-like keyboard, very, very light and very, very simple. And here again, my goal was to keep it simple and let the beauty of the actual song, the lyrics, and the melody shine.
And I know it's on Spotify and the different streaming services, so people can hear it.
Exactly. There's no physical copies, but you can stream it to your heart's content. I like to make a joke. It's available wherever records are not sold.
Let's shift gears then, talk about Christmas. Obviously, we've already sort of touched upon how it's a different year for pretty much everybody. Have your Christmas plans changed from previous years? Do you have any traditions, or maybe you're starting new traditions this year?
Well, my Christmas plans have changed dramatically, like so many of us. You know, we're not able to get together with our families. So my wife's family lives in Illinois. We can't see them. Our son lives in Virginia, and he's on his way to Colorado, where we would normally spend Christmas because we have a home out there. It's where we, you know, it's where he was born. It's where we've been for the past 30 years. But we're in Nashville, and my wife and I are kind of, you know, hunkering down, and we're going to try to, you know, keep ours. A little Christmas tradition of making lasagna on Christmas, because my grandmother was Italian. My mother's side of the family is Italian, and as a child, you know, I always look forward to my grandmother making lasagna on Christmas. So that's a tradition that we'll try to keep, even though we're going to do it remotely. You know, we'll make the best of it, and that's just kind of how it is this year. But a good friend of mine who said something kind of, you know, very profound and simple. He said, you know, if you miss one Christmas, just think of it as it'll maybe enable you to have Christmases, you know, going forward into the, you know, next few years. And I said, you know what, if we only miss one Christmas, it's worth it.
Oh, absolutely. And I was sort of thinking about it too, going, we've almost gone a full cycle, right? Almost a full year already. So most of us have already had a different kind of a birthday. We've already had a different kind of Thanksgiving. So really for me, I mean, we're still kind of getting together a little bit as a family, but you know, like, it's kind of like the whole year has been a wash. So what's one more holiday? And then we just, you know, hopefully
exactly.
Things start
up. Chalk it up to putting 2020 in the rearview mirror, man. And let's look ahead. And that's look out the windshield instead of the rearview mirror.
Well, and you guys have a big year ahead too with touring, right? You've got a big tour with Hall & Oates coming up.
Well,
hopefully.
Let's put it this way.
Fingers
We've got
crossed.
A plan.
Yeah.
whether that plan comes to fruition or not, I can't say. That's up to the world. That's up to people staying safe and the world opening up enough for people to want to come to shows. If they do, we're going to play. We have a tentative tour plan for August of next summer, and we have other shows as well. And, you know, in the meantime, though, I've got a virtual songwriting festival that I'm putting together as we speak. My wife and I are producing it for the benefit of a great charity called Feeding America, which is for food banks across the country. And Lord knows that, you know, I can't believe in a country like ours that there are people who don't have food. It just, to me, it's hard to even process that. So we're going to do our best to raise some money for Feeding America this spring. And I've got a great list of artists who have signed on to perform and do, you know, some unplugged stuff. And we're going to roll that out in the springtime. And hopefully that'll, you know, generate some funds for to help some needy families.
It really does put things into perspective when, you know, we were just talking about people feeling, you know, gloom, and it's gloom and doom this holiday season because we all can't get together as a big family and share presents in the big meal. But it really makes you think, like you're saying, about those people who don't have that. So this is actually sort of a rude awakening for a lot of us who take things like that for granted.
Yeah, especially here in this country. I mean, we're the wealthiest and, you know, most blessed country in the world, and there's no reason that Americans should not be eating. There's no reason for that at all.
Absolutely. And so do you have a New Year's resolution? This is always something that, you know, is a big hot topic at this time of the year. Do you make a New Year's resolution?
I don't really do that very often, but I think this year I do. I've already been thinking about it. My New Year's resolution is that for everyone to take the take what they've learned during this period of COVID and shutdown and go into the new year, even if the world returns to a different sense of normalcy, to take the lessons that we've learned and go forward with compassion and try to make the world a better place and not make the same mistakes.
Absolutely. And actually, you know, coincidentally, I've got to tell everybody this story. We were taking a walk down memory lane on the show a little bit earlier. We had Michael Gross and Meredith Baxter from Family Ties. Coincidence here, John, this is good because it involves you. Michael Gross and Meredith Baxter were both on our show at the TV Land Awards in 2011. Do you remember who was performing at the TV Land Awards that year?
I believe it was us.
It was. And I didn't make that connection. I thought, wait a second, Hall & Oates have been on the show before. When was that? So we did some looking. TV
right.
Land Awards.
That's right. And so, you know, I have a funny story about that. The dressing rooms were just pipe and drape. You know, they were just like these artificially created spaces that, mm-hmm. you know, the various artists and performers could, kind of get a little privacy. And we were right next to Liza Minnelli.
Yes, and, she opened the show.
It was funny, as we were getting dressed to do our show, she was warming up by singing New York, New York. You could hear her, like, she was belting it out right on the other side of this little thin curtain, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, she opened the show with that. She had the big the kick dancers and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was. And now, wait a second, wasn't there, I remember actually, because we were all in the audience dancing, there was a technical problem or there was something, because I remember saying to somebody, haven't we heard this song already? Didn't you guys have to redo part of it?
Probably, if there was a technical problem, it was probably because of TV or the cameras,
yeah.
or sound, because normally, I mean, we don't have technical problems when it comes to playing those songs.
Yeah.
So there must have been a snafu in the truck, as they say, you know, the recording truck.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. People don't realize the TV Land Awards wasn't live, so hey, it just made we just drank and danced more. We had a great time in the crowd, so yeah, it was like a concert for us.
Play it twice.
Absolutely. Okay, so there's lots to recap. So the Christmas song, as we said, is already on, it's on streaming services, so people can blast that as they're drinking their eggnog.
Yep.
And then the upcoming hopeful tour dates for Hall & Oates are also on the band website, right?
Oh, sure. HallandOates.com has pretty much everything.
And what's your website to tell everybody?
Yeah, I'm pretty active on Instagram. If you go on John Oates Official, there's all kinds of stuff happening there. Tell you about this movie I'm working on called Gringa, which is also coming out this year. It's a great story about a young girl from Southern California who goes to Mexico to find her estranged father. And I did four songs for that movie, and actually got a chance to sing with a really great female artist from Mexico City named Jimena Sariana. And we sang in Spanish, which was a first for me, which is really cool to be able to do something like that. So got a lot of cool projects happening, and I've got my Facebook, and there's Twitter and YouTube and all sorts of, you know, acoustic and unplugged performances happening, and a lot of wacky stuff too. So try to make everyone laugh every once in a while.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is it's going to have to be shorter than 10 years before you come back and talk to us again.
I hope so. let's make a point of it.
that's your New Year's resolution, John. All right.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, everybody. The song, the Christmas song, is on Spotify and all the streaming services. John, Merry Christmas. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.